Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 162, recorded on October 10th, 2012. Enjoy! Alright, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey Jeff, how's it going?
It's going good. How's it going for you, Michael?
Pretty good, pretty well.
Excellent.
Ooh, Time Machine's backing up. We'll see how well I do while that happens.
It's not generally good.
Yeah, it likes to do whatever it likes to do. Adam Christensen's also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, still good.
Yeah.
Have you noticed the time...
Even from like 30 seconds ago?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's good. Time Machine...
I'm glad I double-checked.
Backs up constantly for me. Do you guys get that? It seems like it's just always backing up.
I did up until a few days ago when my iTunes drive died.
Ah.
Or not iTunes.
Your Time Machine.
That was a few weeks ago. Time Machine. That's the one that's dead right now.
That sucks.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Apple has finally begun shipping their Lightning to 30-pin adapters. Did you guys order any of those?
So now we should all be able to figure out exactly how many devices don't work.
Yeah. So have you gotten yours yet?
I didn't order one.
Okay. Good to know.
Totally unnecessary.
Well, it would be necessary for devices that, like, I guess, dock connectors or dock speaker docks. Really, would be the only one, or cables like that connect to your TV, right?
Yeah, except none of that. Most of that stuff's not going to work.
Right, you have to have.
We went over this last time.
Out adapters that haven't been made yet.
I don't know that you think that is required.
Yep.
So the 30-pin connector on the 30-pin adapter does not provide video via 30-pin.
Right.
It's not the 30-pin side that's the problem, though.
No, I think that's completely wrong. I think that's a misconception. I think that you think that Apple would seriously put out a connector, a new connector that does not support video out?
Yes, because that connector is in development.
So you're saying... So Lightning is capable...
Yes. Of digital video out.
But it is not capable via the 30-pin connector.
Correct.
Okay. That makes sense. It sucks. And I don't know if is there actual confirmation of that? Has someone gone and tried to hook up their adapter to their iPhone 5 through a TV?
So the adapters just started showing up like in the last 24 hours. So I haven't heard of anyone doing it yet.
So are you trying to say like if I had the Lightning to 30-pin adapter and then I took my 30-pin to HDMI cable and plugged it into that, you would expect the video to work?
I would. Yeah.
That may work.
Why wouldn't it? I guess it all depends on how Apple's doing it. So it
depends on how the pins are mapped.
Well, if they're mapping all of the pins, which would be the smart thing to do, especially if they're charging you...
Though. There's only 9 pins on them. How can you map 9 to 30 when there's only 9?
Because they can do it digitally. And the 30-pin or the Lightning connector has the technology in it to dynamically change what the pins do. So if, for example, there's something on the other end on the 30-pin connector that is requesting video and audio, why could it not send that out? If the Lightning connector is capable of doing that, why could it not...
Then that adapter would also have to dynamically map the right 30-pin sure. out.
Well, that's the point of the adapter. I guess it's just not...
I don't think it's that sophisticated.
I think that would...
I agree. The adapter is not that sophisticated.
So you think that it's only capable of doing what? Charging? Doing power?
Charging, syncing.
Charging and syncing.
Yeah, I think it's just basic data throughput.
Okay, so if it's
digital audio,
stuff like, I'm going to say that if
digital
it's,
video, but so assuming,
so you think that they could do digital video?
That's why I said it might work with the old 30 pin video cables hooked into the 30 pin to Lightning adapter, assuming that those pin assignments didn't change or aren't funky. So if Apple's sending out the digital video from the Lightning connector to the pin that's digital video on the adapter, then yeah, that should continue to work.
Well, you would imagine that to make an adapter such as the Lightning to 30 pin make any sense, then that would be the point of it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise,
yeah,
there's
we're talking about the older analog stuff. What is definitely not working?
You're talking about a composite wouldn't work.
Yeah, if I had the old composite video, 30-pin to video cable, that is not going to work through the Lightning adapter.
You don't think... Well, I would say that...
I know that will not work. That's been stated not to work.
It has been stated through
Apple
that yes. through the 30-pin adapter, that cable will not work because it's analog.
It's not even being sent out the Lightning connector at all. The Lightning only sends digital audio and only digital video. There's no composite. There's no analog audio. So all those old speaker docks are not going to work even with the adapter if they're using the analog audio.
So what you're saying is only devices that receive digital signals would work.
Correct.
Do you not think it's possible that they are able to do a digital analog conversion in that adapter?
They could, but they're not.
Okay. I'm not entirely convinced. I want to see it not work in front of me.
Okay.
Okay. Fair enough.
And then I want someone to take a photo of you when you see it not work. I want a photo of your disappointment.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's why I mentioned that funky cable last week where somebody has the Lightning cable that then also has the analog audio cable that you can plug into the headphone jack to pass through the audio so that you can get it to work with your old speaker dock. So you get charging through the speaker dock thing, but then you have to send the analog to the analog pins. See what I'm saying? So
yeah.
it's got input for your dock on one end, right? You plug that in, and then coming off of that, it has a cable that goes into your Lightning connector, and then it has an 1/8-inch mini jack that goes into the headphone jack on your iPhone.
Okay.
So then your iPhone will work with the speaker dock, but what it's passing through is just the headphone audio to the analog audio pin on the 30-pin connector. Get it?
Yeah, I do get it, but I think that... Okay, so I'm looking at an article from TUAW that says that Lightning to 30-pin adapter works with analog audio. iPod out is different.
Oh.
Support for analog audio output, USB audio, as well as syncing and charging video output is not supported. So you may be right on that count. It's not clear if this actually means the adapter does support iPod out for car stereos, but it's clear that analog audio is included.
Oh.
Which makes this adapter make a lot more sense. Because if it only services people who are using the digital part of it, and you can't, I mean, the biggest issue isn't necessarily these people with cables. I feel like there are far less people with cables running their iOS devices into a television. I feel like there are far more people with speaker docks and car docks and that sort of thing that just want the audio that may be analog audio.
Right.
So I guess
that's new to me, and I stand corrected.
Okay.
It was my understanding that that was not going to work.
We'll have to wait and see until we get some real world reports of people getting these things and actually doing it, trying it out.
I was with you, Adam. I thought it wouldn't work at all.
Well, that's good news.
Well, maybe I should go buy one before I start talking at my my Yahoo.
I'm gonna let other people buy them, and they can talk out of their Yahoos, and then if I see enough value for me based on what they say, then I'll go get one because they're $30.
Yeah, here's what it comes down to at the end of the day. If for me, I mean, I guess if I had some of those older products, it would make a difference. And I'm sure a lot of people want to know that. I don't do any of that.
Do you not have speaker docks?
No.
Okay. Because I have a buttload of those.
I have an AirPort Express.
Yeah. I guess, see, like I said, it would probably be more...
my audio.
Be more important to someone who has at least one speaker dock. I have like three. And I use two of them regularly.
Yeah.
The third one I do use AirPort, but anyway.
I guess if I was doing that, I would get some of these cool new adapters that just plug into your speaker dock and convert it into a Bluetooth one.
Yeah, I think, what is it?
Save my $30 and spend $50 or $100 on one of those little doodads. I don't know.
What's the company that does that? I have one of those. I can't remember what it was.
Well, there's a couple. I mean, I've had the...
I know Audio Engine does one,
I've had the Audio Engine ones, but those aren't Bluetooth. Those are just...
That's a proprietary
thing. Like, Wi-Fi stuff. Yeah. And so I don't know if that stuff's compatible with AirPlay or not. Because that relied on the 30-pin connector, and I don't know what kind of audio out it used. So that would be another situation where you'd have to try it with the 30-pin adapter to see if it sends the audio. I have no idea. But again, I think Apple's right. I mean, I barely ever even dock my iOS devices anymore. I'm finding more and more, like, it's like, oh, I forgot to update my apps because they're showing up. Even though I update them in iTunes because I'm on my computer every day, I never sync the updates over. So I have to, like, re-download them on my devices. It's really silly when I think about it, but...
It's the iSkin Cerulean. That's the one that I played with. The Cerulean RX. Or Cerulean, I'm not sure. Cerulean. It appears to be gone now. Unavailable. So maybe they have another one. Anyway.
Yeah. So I mean I'm falling in exactly what Apple was kind of alluding to with this stuff, is that I transmit my audio over AirPlay and I sync my device over Wi-Fi. And I update my apps directly on the device. I even prefer to get device updates on the device if I can.
Yep.
So other than charging it, that's the only thing I really use my 30-pin cable for, is for charging. Or, I mean, my Lightning cable now.
Yeah, my cable's a charging cable. My iPhone 5 has been connected to my laptop once. And it was during the initial... No, it was after the initial setup. I wanted to make sure that I had everything configured properly so that it would do the Wi-Fi backups for me.
Yeah.
Okay. And it is. So I may not ever connect my iPhone to my Mac again.
It's faster to sync over USB. Or have you noticed that it's about the same at this point?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
For me. Really, because...
Well, what if you're syncing your entire... all the music you're going to put on your iPhone? Or I guess we've covered the fact that you guys don't do that anymore.
Well, I do sync music to my iPhone. And I have it set to sync some smart playlists. So periodically, those smart playlists will change. And... the syncing happens in the background when I'm sitting at my desk anyhow. And so it doesn't matter if it takes a little bit longer to go over Wi-Fi than over USB.
Yeah, I guess. So have you guys, I know you, at least Jeff, I think Adam, you both go to Starbucks. We'd seen that the Starbucks app now has Passport.
It's great. Passbook
integration.
Yep, I've used it. It's awesome.
So how does it work? You just, when you go to Starbucks, your phone says, hey, you're at Starbucks.
Kind of. What you need to do is tell the app what your favorite Starbucks locations are. And when you walk into those locations, then it will pop up the little thing on the screen. Hey, you're in Starbucks.
So you have to do some pre-setup before it works. You can't just be trucking down the highway and you go up to random Starbucks and it knows.
I'd have to look at the settings. I mean, you may be able to just say every Starbucks, but...
Oh, maybe you can. When I did the setup after updating the app, the first thing it said is, we need you to pick your favorite locations so that Passbook will work.
You know, it might be that the iOS needs to know what locations to put geofences around.
Exactly.
Right. So they probably can't do it dynamically.
Which no, but I'm there okay might be, with.
There, I mean, I could imagine them adding a universal setting that just says anytime I'm at a Starbucks, which could get a little crazy. It'd probably kill the battery on your phone, but
it probably would. Now, for me, it didn't activate until after I had stepped inside the store and was there for a minute or so.
Okay.
So it wasn't like as I walk past a Starbucks, my iPhone is going, "Hey, you're at Starbucks. Hey, you're at Starbucks," which I'm actually glad, because
so you think there's an,
that would get annoying.
They have enough time in there as a buffer to make sure that it's not incorrect.
Yeah. I don't know. Right. Mine came up pretty almost immediately last time I tried it.
That's good. Starbucks I go to doesn't have a big line, so
Suck. Okay. So the Starbucks that I go to, it's hit or miss. Some days it's a crazy line. Today it was, and yesterday I walked in and there was like one person ahead of me. And there was plenty of time for me to walk in, place my order, and by the time I was done placing my order, I noticed that my screen was telling me, "Hey, you're in Starbucks." And I liked that instead of having to put in an access my unlock code, I just swiped and it brought up my payment screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome. That's comes up cool. on the lock screen without having to put in your unlock code.
Nice.
Yeah. And I know some people are going to freak out. Oh, my God, someone could steal my iPhone and spend all the money on my card. All right. Well, I only put $25 on my card at a time. So that's the most someone could get away with, because you can't reload the card from that screen.
Or you could just turn off the feature.
Or I could just turn it off, but I'm not going to.
Right.
Yeah. Because it's magical.
Yep. So... are you guys sad that Ping has been officially closed?
Huh.
Jeff, I think that you were probably the most active on my Ping.
Isn't that funny? Because
you probably did nothing.
Yeah, well, I had it set so every time I made an iTunes Store purchase, it would just automatically put it on Ping so that I'd have some kind of activity happening. And... and
you're braver man than I am. I didn't want anybody to know what I was buying.
Yeah, I made fun of you for a couple of your purchases.
Yeah, I know. And that's okay.
No, Adam.
Because I know where you live.
That's true.
Yeah. And a lot of those purchases, if I look back at the history and go, "Oh my God, why did I buy that?" It's real easy for me to say, "Oh, it was a free song of the week."
Yeah, that's true.
Because I'm really good at hitting Starbucks every week for the free song and then going to the iTunes store for the free song. And for those of you that are totally into free music, here's an awesome little tip. When you go to Starbucks and you get the card for music, go in fire up Mobile Safari and go to starbucks.yahoo.com, because there might be a second song that's free. And when the card is an app or a video or a book, starbucks.yahoo.com have a song as well.
Oh, interesting.
So you can get two free songs from Starbucks every week in most weeks.
So have you heard that Starbucks on the 16th is no longer going to give you free soy milk?
Yes.
If you're a gold card?
Yep.
Yep. And yeah, they've been really good at letting people know. And I was so pissed off.
Yeah.
But then I did the math. It saves me $4.20 for each free drink cycle. So I'm glad I did the math first instead of bitching, because it's actually a better deal for me.
How is it a better deal?
Because if you add this price of the soy back in, drop everything down to 12 before you get a free drink instead of 15, it's $4.20 less for me.
Oh, I didn't realize that
they're lowering the limit when you get a free.
The free drinks threshold. And then you're...
And you, when you buy food, I believe that goes towards your stars also. So it's all purchases, not just purchases.
Oh, okay. And your quality is going down, Jeff. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Oh, maybe if I wasn't slumping or slouching, am I in there now?
No, it's your connection.
Awesome.
Well, that is good to know. I was a little upset about that Starbucks thing.
Yeah. Here's another Starbucks tip for you. If you have the Starbucks app, there's the messages thing that's built into the app where they can tell you about new features or specials that are coming up. Starbucks is now pushing out the free song of the week to the messages.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, cool. I was able to download a free song of the week without being at Starbucks just by tapping that link.
Neat. Yeah, I think I'm gonna hang up on you and call you back, Jeff, because it's really bad right now.
Okay.
So Jeff is gone, and we can talk about him. Are you still there, Adam?
Yep.
Okay, good. So
I'm just freaking you out a bit.
Yeah, you're fun. So, Jeff?
Do I sound better?
You sound better.
Yes.
Okay, hold on. Let me make sure no one else is doing stuff on the network. I'll be right back.
Okay. I guess we're just going to pause here. All right, so we're back. So I guess that, I don't know if you guys saw last week, we were thinking that possibly we would see an invitation for an iPad mini media event today.
Of course, it's not the end of the day yet. Come on. Oh, there's still hope. There's it might hope. Happen.
Yeah, Adam's crazy.
But he's cute, you know, so he's got that going for him.
Mm-hmm. I'm playing the role of the fanatic diehard. Come on. It's not midnight on the Pacific Coast yet.
But, okay, so according to sources, production has been started in the Brazil Foxconn factory. I guess they've supposedly asked for 10 million units. They've ordered 10 million units. So they're thinking that it's going to be a pretty big success. However, they say that yields are a lot lower than they really would want. So they think that when the iPad mini, so in addition to the fact that I guess they've been pushing back the iPad mini launch due to low yields, they're also expecting there to be a kind of a shortage when it does roll out initially.
Okay, I want to point out that every Apple product launch will always have a shortage because there's no way Apple can make enough for whatever it is that they're releasing.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, that's not a bad problem to have.
Yes, if you're going to have a problem, that's the one to have.
Yeah. And I guess there have been some claims that the iPad mini may not have 3G support, but there are also parts out there that have the what seems to be the 3G antenna windows on the back. So would it make sense to not have a 3G option in an iPad mini?
I can see it as a differentiating feature, like the iPod Touch does not have 3G. However, if I were a betting man, I would bet that if Apple actually is designing and planning on releasing a mini version of the iPad, it's going to have LTE support built in.
Yeah. I think it has to have cellular. I don't think they can not release it without one.
Not in the base model, though, right?
No, well, they're going to have Wi-Fi model. Yeah, no, not on a base model, but I don't think they're not going to do it without both options because it just makes them look like an also-ran up against their competitors. That it's already going to be bad enough that it's probably not going to become bundled like a Kindle or Kindle Fire does. Does the Kindle Fire come bundled with the cellular, or is it only their e-readers? I can't remember now.
I think it's only the e-readers. Yeah, I think it's only the higher-end e-readers.
So maybe it's not a big deal. Because that was my first thought, is like a lot of the e-readers have that, you know, like cellular data built in. But that's right, it's only the e-book readers. So huh, maybe not such a big deal. They might be able to get away with it if there's a specific reason, some sort of technical reason they can't get the deals done or they can't get it launched. But
I think that it would be a bad idea to not offer a 3G version of the iPad mini just because of the price to upgrade to an iPad with 3G would be so drastic that it would just not make any sense. Because not only do you have to pay the price of upgrading to a full iPad model, then you'd also have the cost of upgrading the other $130. So it's going to be what, like $330 to get a 3G model of an iPad relative to if you just want an iPad mini with 3G, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's another $200 you'd have to spend. So I think it would make sense. I think that the iPad mini, it's not designed to be a less than sort of product. It's supposed to be a slightly different take on the iPad for those people who need a smaller device than the iPad, but sure, want almost all the same capability.
But see, that's what I'm saying is I think you have to look at what's happening with other 7-inch tablets. Right? And so yeah. I had not been keeping up with the Kindle Fire stuff, and I apologize for that. But I just went to look at the Kindle Fire page, and it looks like their 7-inch Kindle Fire HD, I don't think, has a wireless 3G option. It's only the new large one, the 8.9.
Maybe.
And I'm curious on the Nexus, too.
I'm not sure.
So, I mean, is that something that's expected on a 7-inch tablet or not?
Yeah, you know, I would say
I expect it, but I think a lot of people don't care.
I think that there would be a market for it.
I think there would too, but what the question is do they have to have it day one? Do they have to launch it with LTE?
No, I don't think so.
And I think that they don't.
I don't think so. But I think that there probably won't be much of a reason to not.
Well, except, I mean, if none of the competitors are doing it, and it could potentially erode sales of the LTE larger iPad.
Yeah, I suppose.
When it comes into play.
It'll be interesting to see what other differentiators Apple has for the iPad mini. Other than, let's say, the option for 3G and the screen size. There's got to be more than that, right? Because if you look historically at Apple's product line with the iPod versus the iPod mini, you had smaller screen size, smaller storage capacity, and less features.
Yeah, but I mean, you're also talking in potential issues with battery life and costs and all those sorts of things too. So if they're trying to keep the price point down, if they're trying to compete in this space that is the 7-inch tablet space, then it may make sense not to have an LTE one,
right,
at least initially.
Yeah. Okay.
Based on what I'm looking at now, because I don't think the Nexus has LTE either.
All right. So have you guys heard that in order for third parties to create Lightning connector accessories, that they would be required to produce those accessories in Apple-approved factories,
mm-hmm,
among other requirements and stipulations? That it does actually seem right now that there are not any third parties that have access, legal access, to the Lightning connector.
Yeah, the reports are that Apple hasn't approved any factories yet and won't until mid-November at the earliest.
Jeez.
You know, not like these companies actually have to make products to make money. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait, yeah, exactly. Well,
again, I think this is coming back down to an emphasis on, I don't think Apple is pushing that connector as much of a connector, as funny as that sounds. In my mind,
you think that they're going all in on AirPlay?
I think they're wanting people to be pushed more toward wireless options. Yeah, I do. I think they're not looking at the Lightning connector to be this big, huge thing. I mean, you've already got all these Bluetooth speaker docks, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going to go with you on that one. Yeah, I think you're right.
It's just my observation based on how they're behaving, right? And also how they presented the Lightning connector when they brought it out, how they've been focusing on wireless technologies. And I think it's because it does actually make sense. Eventually, Apple, I think, wants to get rid of cables on everything if they can. So
I got to say that that's not
reducing the pins and making it so that accessories have to rely on more on wireless technologies moves them in that direction.
Yeah, you know, you may be right on that. Because it truly is a lot nicer to be able to be untethered. I barely ever use wired headphones anymore. I use wireless headphones. I AirPlay when I can. And it really is a lot better. And so I guess there are speaker docks out there that use AirPlay, correct?
Tons of them.
Okay. I haven't actually gotten any. But it would be amazing if suddenly that speaker dock in the bathroom was wireless.
And full stereo systems, and you're hearing about, I don't know if there's televisions that have it built in already yet, but I mean, that's rumored to maybe someday televisions will just have AirPlay built in.
Now, it would be really nice if we could get an accessory that would would be essentially a conversion for any stereo to do AirPlay. So if it was just a little dongle that you plug into your RCA jack or what have you, that is a little Wi-Fi module that broadcasts or accepts.
Well, an Apple AirPlay. Would say you have it. It's called an Apple TV or there Airport Express.
Well, see, that's the problem. The Airport Express does more, and I think it's too expensive to justify that.
It'd be great if Apple came out with a little simple $50, $40 product that did just that.
It'll just be $50. $40 seems more reasonable, but it'll be $50, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. But so I don't know. It's interesting because the Lightning cable can do a lot more than just charging, but it seems to be the way Apple's behaving that they're positioning it as a charging cable.
Yeah, and if this truly is their desire is to get us all wireless, then I think that these current actions do make sense, because if they did want to have adoption by third parties be high on getting the Lightning connector in their accessories, then they would have provided access much sooner and certainly wouldn't be dawdling on it right now.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, I can't think of a Lightning. I've been looking at a lot of the Bluetooth speaker things because that's what I'm interested in right now. I don't even know if I'd be interested in purchasing a speaker system for my iOS device that had a Lightning connector on it.
For what reason? Because you don't want to dock it?
Just doesn't make any sense. I mean, I guess if you want to charge and play, but...
See, yeah, that is one of the big things. And I think that makes more sense in a car than anywhere else, though.
Yeah, I already have a charging cable in my car, so if my car head unit supported Bluetooth, I'd do that.
You know, I'm thinking that if I found a really good Bluetooth stereo system or speaker system, that would be reason enough for me to buy a new iPod Touch. Because then that could be my little pocket size media system and save battery life on my iPhone 5. And I know I'm weird in that I can still find valid uses for an iPod Touch even though I have an iPhone.
Yeah, that is weird. But did you see that the Lightning authentication has been cracked?
Do we know for sure there really is Lightning authentication?
Or is
it just people saying that it is?
And that they cracked it?
I know it's very, very likely. But has anyone actually verified that?
Well, they had... Well, I guess it's very likely because they had verification and authentication in the 30-pin connector.
Well, and there's definitely the chip inside for doing that sort of thing. I mean,
yeah, you do need the chip.
The company that tore down the cable showed images of the actual chip and explained what the actual chip was. So,
yeah, so you need something to make it go. It's not just some kind of straight USB. You need some kind
right.
of yeah. negotiation.
So there's at least verification. There's a chip capable of doing authentication in it. And why would you spend the money to put that chip in there if you weren't doing authentication? That'd be stupid.
That's true. And I'm not doubting that the chip is there. It's just I'm curious. Has anyone pulled everything apart and said this piece right here is actually doing authentication?
And don't they do the same thing? I mean, they do the same sorts of things with the Thunderbolt, right?
I don't know if it has
authentication, but I mean, it's not just like anybody can make generic Thunderbolt cables.
I think you can.
Yeah, actually, I think you can make generic Thunderbolt cables. I don't
do
think
they
there's
work
any.
Well?
They probably do. It's just digital. You can probably go to Monoprice and get some Thunderbolt cables.
That's a good question. I haven't looked yet.
I'd like to try a generic Thunderbolt cable and see. I just don't feel like spending the money to be disappointed. I know I'm weird like that.
Sorry.
See, I just thought, maybe I'm naive, I just thought it was the same thing. I don't see any Thunderbolt cables at Monoprice.
Oh, you don't?
They have Thunderbolt to VGA, Thunderbolt to HDMI adapters, though. So,
okay. So they do. Some Thunderbolt. All right. So let's see. What else do we have here? Google has added Street View to the web-based Google Maps.
And it's meh.
Yeah, it is pretty meh. It's meh because, would you say it's meh because it doesn't work as well as Apple Maps did? Or because
not
you
even
don't
close.
Really care?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does not work nearly as well. I was thinking, okay, I'm just going to tap here and I'm going to bring up the little guy. Or I thought, at the very
no
least...
little guy.
Yeah, there's no little guy to do anything with. You have to actually look for a location. It has to be a location that you can find. And then it will allow you to put the little guy down.
I don't even think you have to put the little guy down.
You just have to
go into the location and you go into Street View at that point and then you can kind of navigate around. But you can't just drop it on a spot, which
I think that's about 3 pounds of suck.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
It's good that they can do it at all, though. So, I mean, at least
sure.
you've got something.
Yeah.
I tried one of the Street View apps that was almost just as bad. And I even think I paid for it.
Oh, that sucks.
That's got to hurt.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot of money. You know, it was like $2 or whatever. But it was the same kind of thing where it's like you already have to have the points in there. It's not like you can just find a point. I don't remember what the limitations were, but it was like, oh, this is not the same.
Which one is that? Do you remember which app?
Let me grab my iPad. Give me a second to grab my iPad. Okay. Keep talking amongst yourselves and I'll find it.
Have you found, Jeff, that you've been using the 3D flyover?
No, I really haven't.
Real things. You know, honestly, I feel like once it's more readily available, I think it will be much nicer than Street View was. However, there are situations where Street View was way better if you're in an area where there's a lot of tree coverage. If you're in a neighborhood with a thick tree coverage, then it's pretty much impossible to see what the houses look like.
You know, Street View for me was awesome when I needed to figure out if any of the parking lots around where I was going to be took credit cards. Because I could do Street View and read the signs at the parking lots.
Yeah.
And that's all I use Street View for. I found, though, that with Apple Maps, I'm using their turn-by-turn directions a lot.
Well, that's what has always been said was the biggest motivator for Apple to do this move more than anything else, because the initial deal that Apple had with Google did not include turn-by-turn directions. And as far as I know, Google hasn't done turn-by-turn directions. They have not allowed anybody utilizing the Google Maps information to use it for turn by turn. And I think that they were just not able to come to any sort of agreement that would allow Apple to get what they want and get turn by turn directions. So that I think that was ultimately the reason why they had to do this. And I think that in their mind, turn by turn directions was far more important than whatever else Google was able to offer, save for incredibly accurate data that Google has over time been able to implement in their system that sure. Apple is very quickly catching up on. And have you actually read that Apple has started utilizing their retail employees to contribute to improving maps?
Yes, I saw that. And so that's cool. So they have retail staff that will be actively working to help improve maps. Plus, they have all of us out there working to improve maps. Mm-hmm. And I know that people are out there doing this. Well, Adam and I did it on Saturday after Mac Computer Expo. We all went out to dinner, and the location we went to, first place that was wrong in Apple Maps for me. And they had the address on the wrong side of the street. That was it.
Oh.
So Adam brought up the
report a problem thing.
Thank you. The report a problem thing, and said this location is on the opposite side of the street from where you have it, and sent it off. And there's a vested interest that we all have in providing this information because we want to make sure that we get where we're supposed to go.
Did you check it later on to see if they fixed it?
I have not looked yet.
It'd be interesting to see how quickly they do.
I haven't looked either. Yeah.
Well, it seems like they have been doing things very quickly, though.
Yes.
Yeah. So the app that I have, and I have to take it back, it's better than I thought it was. It's called Live Street View.
Okay.
And it was just more a UI problem, I guess, because it didn't seem like you could do a search, but there actually is a search under the menu options. So you can search for a point. You can get the street view. You can also sort of drop a pin. There's a map that pops down, and you can zoom in and out of the map and tap a spot, and it will load street view for that spot. So it's actually not bad.
Oh, cool.
It also, of course, has location-based stuff. So if you're in a location and you tap the, locate me now, you can obviously get street view. But that was my problem, is like I didn't see a way to search and just, pinpoint a location. I'm like, well, this is dumb. If I can only get street view on the place that I'm currently at, then what's the point? I'm standing here.
Yeah, because you have street view.
Right, exactly.
But no, you can search. The UI is not the best in the world, but it works well, and it works with the Apple Maps, and that's not bad. Actually, now that I'm playing with it a little bit more. Cool. I forget how much it was.
A couple bucks, right?
You said Live Street View?
Live Street View. LiveStreetViewApp.com.
Okay, yeah, I see it. Interesting. All right, so let's see, what else do we have here? So Samsung has requested to add the iPhone 5 to their U.S. patent lawsuit. Like, we didn't expect
no
that
surprise
to happen.
There.
Yeah. Although I think that it is surprising that they have not. They initially said that they were going to be suing over the iPhone 5's utilization of LTE, and they have not, as far as I know, used that.
They did not, but that's because they added the iPhone 5 to a current case where they weren't already targeting LTE.
Okay. So they probably will go after it in a separate case.
I would assume so. Although, since they've been doing all this posturing saying we're going to hammer Apple as soon as they release an LTE product, and the iPhone 5 comes out and they didn't do it, you look at them and think, really?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, by the way, what about the Retina iPad? Because it has LTE.
That is true. Yeah. Okay.
So go Samsung.
Mm-hmm. Have you... regarding the scratching of the iPhone 5, don't know if we talked about it last time, but Foxconn had some striking. And was there actual rioting or no?
There were riots a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And that was in a factory. It's been a couple weeks ago, and there's been so much that's happened. A factory that makes components that are used in a lot of different products.
Okay, so that the rioting
some
was
of
separate.
Which may be for the iPhone.
The rioting was separate from iPhone 5 scratching.
Right.
Okay, so there have been a lot of complaints of, as we've talked about before, of iPhone 5s coming out of the box with scratches. I have a friend who bought a black iPhone 5 initially. He had scratching on it out of the box, and then he bought a white one thinking that he would have better luck in terms of scratching, and of course he also had scratching on the white one. So
on which part?
On a couple different parts, on the edges, I think, mostly. But I believe that the issues, well, they've been having issue keeping strict enough quality control that they to not scratch the case on the iPhone 5 during assembly, and that because of the strict requirements and, I guess, lack of training in order to not cause scratching, there has been striking. Now, I've heard, but I'm not sure if this is the case, that initially there was a the initial batch of iPhone 5s that were shipped out early on were had bad batteries in them, and so that before they were actually shipped out, they were returned to the factories, opened, and they replaced the batteries, and that's when the scratching occurred. Have you guys heard that?
That one's new to me.
Okay. See, I didn't see any reports of that either. Adam, have you heard that?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So that could just be speculation or nonsense. But what is true, what is accurate, is that there have been issues with the employees, the factory workers, assembling these phones and inadvertently causing scratching on them because they're so delicate.
You know, that's clearly a problem. And I know people that have had scratching issues.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Was yours out of the box scratched?
Not out of the box.
Okay, no, right.
It was right. My own doing.
Yeah.
Now, my black iPhone 5 has no scratches on it. It's not in a case. And when I'm sitting at my desk, I'm putting it in an aluminum stand.
Yeah.
And I still don't have any scratches on it.
That is interesting. Did you get did you do a pre-order on that?
I did a pre-order. I pre-ordered mine through AT&T.
Okay, so it's an early batch phone, you would guess.
Oh, I'm certain, yeah.
Okay. It is interesting, and it seems, I mean, it's one thing to say that, oh, you know, it's aluminum, it's anodized aluminum, of course it'll be susceptible to scratching. If you take something metallic to it, you can scratch it, because that's just what the material does. But it's another thing that if just by the sheer process of making the device and assembling it, that it's susceptible enough to scratching. So either they're doing something wrong in the process in terms of protecting it as they would typically with a product like this, or the materials are so soft that they're just being scratched through normal processes.
I don't get the impression that that's the problem, that having owned one, held one. And mine, yeah, what is scratched is not, and it's not even quote-unquote scratched. I think we have to talk about what we're talking about.
Well, they're dinged.
Well, see, that's the thing is, I think people are seeing one thing and not really understanding what's going on.
Okay.
Because I examined mine closely. We actually have a microscope in the house. I've looked at it underneath the microscope to see what was going on, what happened, because I put mine in my pocket with keys, and the chamfered edge got quote-unquote scratches. And I still maintain, in looking at it, what it looks like to me is there is this coating of something. I do not know what the material is. So it's not the metal that's scratching. It's whatever coating they've put to make the chamfered edge on the black one black And that's why I was asking about your friend's silver one. Whatever they were doing to make that black gets chipped off or scraped or scratched. So it's almost like it's not adhering. It's like that mirrored edge.
So it's more like a delamination.
Yeah, exactly. It's more like it's a paint chip. You know, it's like the material didn't adhere or is not hard enough. And that would be reasonable because it's just it's a coating. It's not metal. So I don't think my metal keys actually scratched the chamfered edge. I think it chipped off or scraped off that coating. And so it's really an adhesion problem of whatever that paint or whatever that stuff is. It's either not hard enough or more likely it's not sticking well enough to the thing. And maybe it didn't have enough curing time in the factory. Maybe, you know, there could be a number of reasons. I'm not a material sciences person, but
yeah. Well, okay. So what I saw on my friend's white iPhone, and I didn't get a really close look at it. I didn't look at it very, very, very closely, but what it looked like was, and the chamfered edge on the white, it's not coated in anything.
Right. I have something to tell you.
Okay. Well, I'm almost positive that what I saw were little dings, like indentations with.
That's what it looks like. It to the naked eye, that is exactly what it looks like.
But you still think that there's some kind of coating on even the white one?
I'm just telling you based on my experience when I really looked at it and sort of felt it. Even feels like it might be on the black one again, though, because I think there's a coating, and so there is a little bit of an impression where that material has been chipped or worn away. I don't know on the white ones because I haven't seen it on the white ones, and I've asked a number of people with white ones. You're the first person who said they had someone who had, so maybe that's a real big edge case. I will tell you, I had one of my listeners tell me she thought her white one was scratched on the chamfered edge, and she took just, there's a product called Wyman's or something that like that, stainless steel wipes that you would normally get to wipe down your stainless steel appliances. She said she just took one of those wipes and sort of wiped the edge, and that scuff or scrape just sort of went away.
Huh.
Wow.
That is interesting.
And I caveat that with, because I don't like to put any chemicals on my iOS products. So this is it's like a wipe that you would take out, almost like a wet wipe. And it's got some sort of material on it, chemical. So if you are going to try this tip, just know you're putting some sort of unknown chemical on your iPhone, and it's probably not, you know, something recommended by Apple. It's something I typically wouldn't recommend. But if you'd like to try it, I have been told it works.
Interesting.
So, there you go. Yeah. So I don't know. That's just my personal theory in actually having one that scuffed and really examining it as closely as I possibly could.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
What else do we have here? So the iPod Nanos and the iPod Touches, the new ones, began shipping or arriving today, right?
I believe so.
Or yesterday.
They started shipping. Yeah, so they should be arriving as of today, which is what, Wednesday?
Mm-hmm. Have you guys
had
a chance to check them out?
I have not.
Yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Do they have them in store, I'm assuming?
I'd imagine they do.
I'm really looking forward to seeing the black one. That one looked really nice in the photographs.
The black iPod Touch?
Yeah. Yeah. The colored ones looked more like toys to me.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to check those out.
Yeah, you gotta see.
I'm looking at a picture of a blue one.
The pictures never do them justice. I mean, it's just like I said with the iPhone 5, you know, I was really not sure how I'd feel about the whole metal and glass two-tone back thing.
Oh, but it's great. I think
it's
especially the,
yeah.
You know, you guys don't ever like the white ones. I think the white one's just stunning.
No, I like the white one.
Okay.
I just prefer black.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, the white one does look nice, especially in the iPhone 5.
Mm-hmm.
I will say it's my favorite of the white iPhones that they've ever put out.
Yeah, because it's got that really nice classy silver. It just adds something extra to it, I think.
But that black one, rawr.
Meh. I'm so tired of black. I've had a black iPhone 5 or iPhone 4, and it's just been, I'm ready for the switch up. I think white just is nicer for me. But anyway, so I was a Mobile Me subscriber before they switched over to iCloud, and they gave me a year of extra storage. Just, I think, what was it, like another 5 gigs, because that's what I got with the base plan, and I never upgraded to anything bigger than that. But Apple yesterday sent out notifications to prior Mobile Me members saying they're giving out another year of that.
Okay, so what you got when you went for, when you made the transition from Mobile Me to iCloud, in addition to the standard free 5 gig of storage,
right,
they threw in 20 gig for free.
Okay.
And that's that shows been extended how much I use for it. Another year.
Yeah, it was supposed to expire on September 30th for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And now it goes through September 30th, 2013.
You want to hear my funny theory on why that happened?
Sure.
Yes,
please. I have no proof of this, but it's just my total guess. It's like they need to figure out how to transition all those people. And I'm guessing that Apple just internally just hasn't had the time or bothered to try and figure it out yet. So they're just like, we'll just give everybody another year. Give us another year to figure out
how do you mean transition them?
I think all those accounts have to be like converted over in the billing system, and I think there's some sort of probably legacy thing going on where they just haven't had time to deal with it. So it's probably easier just to let everybody continue to have that storage.
Yeah, because it didn't seem like anybody cared.
Right.
One way or the other, it didn't seem like there was a great excitement about, we get another year of this. And there, of course, I hadn't heard anything about people saying it really sucks that we have to do this because.
Well, there are tons of people excited about the other year because that email, I will tell you, my inbox.
It was not worded well.
No. Not the email. I was saying the number of my audience members who forwarded me that email or let me know that they were getting the additional 30 gig storage, I got more email on that story than I think any story I've gotten on all year.
Interesting.
So
wow.
From the marketplace standpoint, consumers were obviously very excited about it, at least in my little Mac geek circle.
Yeah.
People were very thrilled to get the additional storage. And I think, so it's a good PR thing on Apple's thing, but I just, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, they gave themselves until the 30th to kind of try and figure out how to transition everybody. And maybe they just, with all the other stuff going on, it just wasn't a priority.
Why?
So they got to the 30th and went, just give them another year. We'll figure it out.
How does this benefit anybody? What is the benefit to having all this extra space? You don't have an iDisk anymore. Is that correct?
Right, but it's awesome if you're doing iCloud backups.
And you're doing iCloud backups on your iOS devices. Yeah,
so I'm backing up an iPhone 5 and a Retina iPad, which means I'm using I'm using about a little over 10 gigs.
Wow.
Yeah, actually, it might be like closer to 12. But the point is,
this is backing up content or just app data?
All of it.
Yeah, content and app data.
Interesting. So you're talking like music?
Nope.
No, because music doesn't. Well, if you're using iTunes Match, music doesn't count against that.
So no music. This is just all the data that I have on the devices, because apps don't count towards that.
Right. The apps themselves.
And everything in PhotoStream does not count against that. So that would be extra photos. Any videos that are not through the iTunes store, which right now I don't have anything like that. It's all iTunes videos, so those wouldn't count either.
Any iTunes Match music that was uploaded, right?
Any iTunes Match music that was uploaded, but I'm not using iTunes Match. So this is just a buttload of data that I have on my devices, primarily.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it's good for that.
Be cool
good
if you
news
could
for everybody who was a Mobile Me pay person. I mean, it's $40 a year. Otherwise, you're getting equivalent what would cost you $40.
Yeah,
and for me, I was ready to pony up the $40 because that is an incredibly cheap data insurance policy for me.
Yep.
All right. So unless you guys have anything else to talk about, I think it's time for our iDevice picks. Jeff, you want to go first?
Sure.
All right.
Okay, so my pick is NetBot. And ooh, it's Twitter users are, a lot of them are familiar with Tweetbot, which I think is an awesome, it's actually my favorite Twitter application. So take that interface, the whole way Tweetbot works, and then switch it so that you can use it with app.net. And is it app.net or app.com?
I think it's app.net.
Okay, app.net, and call it NetBot, and there you go. So you already know how the interface works, and it's really slick. And it can even go in and sift through all of your Twitter contacts to see who on Twitter has a net.app account, app.net account. Wow. So that you can add your friends in that way as well. It's a really slick app, and it's a, I don't know, $5?
Yeah, $5 for the iPhone version, $5 for the iPad version.
Yeah, totally worth the money.
I did not realize this, and many listeners out there may not realize this. So obviously you have an app.net account.
Yes.
Okay. Before, was it not $50 a year?
It was $50 a year, but a couple weeks ago they dropped it to 36. Like $5 a year.
Okay. It's $36 a year. And
or $5 a month.
$5 a month, which is what I've been saying all along. They gotta drop it down to a monthly price.
Right. And for people that paid the $50 up front, they're not going to get screwed. Their account will be prorated so that they get the $50 worth out of it before they have to renew.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well, very cool. How have you liked app.net?
I'm enjoying it so far. It's not full of spam. And since it's new and there aren't nearly as many people there, it's not as noisy as Twitter. And the problem I'm having right now is that I don't have my Twitter and NetBot content synced up. So I have to go to both services to post content. And I'm trying to decide how I want to make that work.
Is there a way to make it work? There's got to be a way to make it work.
There are ways to make it work. I just haven't played with any yet.
Okay. Interesting. I'm considering getting on app.net. But it is nice that they have that $5 a month version and that they dropped the price too. So that's cool. All right. So NetBot, it's available for iPad and iPhones, $5 each for either of those. Adam, what's your pick this week?
You know, I am going to go with an app, and I'm trying to remember the price on it. Probably my, I'll start out with the one thing that, might be my only complaint about it, and that was that the price to amount of gameplay that is in here, I'm not sure matches up, but it's a beautiful game, and it's called Wonder Putt. And it's a little mini golf game, and you basically have all the, it's just the 19 holes or whatever. It's kind of got a almost like icon style illustration to it. It's like 3D illustration, really beautifully illustrated. Very simple game. You know, you have different holes. You pull back with your finger to hit the ball toward the hole, and you bounce it around and you try and get it in one hole, and then it goes to the next hole. But the animations and artwork on this thing is just incredible. And it's
a
lot of fun.
Yeah, it looks very
nice. Huh?
It looks very nice.
Yeah, have you played it before?
No, I haven't.
No, and it's got fun little animations for each hole. I just wish it had more holes, because it just has the 19 holes, and you try and sort of beat your score. I haven't gotten deep into it. I bought it, I think, last week, and it keeps track of your best scores and your second best scores and how many times you've played and stuff like that. I just wish it had more levels. So, and I can't remember the price on it. It wasn't very expensive.
It's 99 cents.
99 cents. So it's worth a buck.
Totally.
Just with the caveat that the gameplay is probably going to get old really quick.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of replayability, but it's worth 99 cents just to play a couple times.
GarageBand is so nice. So hopefully we didn't miss too much. My pick this week is an alternative For the YouTube application. So in iOS 6, we lost the YouTube app, but YouTube put out an app for iPhone. No iPad app yet. This one is called Jasmine, and it is free. So it's the right price. And it's very nice. It's universal, so it works on the iPad and iPhone. And the thing that it does that, well, one of the many things that it does that the YouTube app does not is it will allow you to AirPlay video, whereas the YouTube app does not allow that. They only do audio, which is kind of sucky. But Jasmine is, it has a slightly different UI than what we're used to with the YouTube application, but I think it's good. It's kind of in that multi-pane design that as you drill down, you see the remnants going off toward the left and the new stuff is on the right. So you can do a search, you can check out your subscriptions, you can create and edit playlists, which is awesome. I can't remember, I can't really tell if you have access to your watch later list. I don't think you do. Which I think that might be one of those issues that is just with YouTube in general. But other than that, it's a really great application, and you should totally check it out. I mean, it's free. So it's called Jasmine. And yeah, there's that.
Cool. I was very happy with the YouTube app, and everybody was telling me about Jasmine, and I was curious what the main advantage was. But the AirPlay things, that's a big deal.
That yeah, that's a huge deal. That and the fact that you have a native application for the on the iPad. Oh, and another really cool thing is it allows it works in the background. So if you just want to hear the audio from something, you can lock your device, you can jump around and go to different applications, and it'll continue playing.
That's cool.
Yeah. So yeah, with that, you can check out all of our iPhone picks and show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. Send feedback to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. And Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, and he's also at Jay Gamet on Twitter. And Zazzle.com/JayGamet is where you can find his Zazzle store.
Yeah, go buy a We Have Communicators mug, mm-hmm. so you can drink with the three of us at your leisure.
Yeah, there you go. Adam Christensen's at the MacCast, MacCast.com. He's at MacCast on Twitter. You can check out the member show at member.maccast.com.
Yes, sir.
And I forgot. You know, I should plug. You probably already follow them. Or us, rather, on Appler. So getappler.com has... So everybody who's emailed me... you weren't kidding, Adam, when you said that I would be overwhelmed with requests from people wanting to hop on board and try Appler. I just get them constantly. My phone is just constantly dinging with more people saying, I want to try it out. So I've been sending out invitations as quickly as possible. If you want to give it a try, it's still open to We Have Communicators folks. You're the first batch of people I've been allowing in here, and I think it's been working very well. I've been getting a lot of good feedback from people. That's the main thing that I need. But actually, more than anything else, the feedback has been, this is awesome, which is the best feedback to get. So I've been tweaking things here and there. If you want to join, send an email to michael@getappler.com and, get you going on that. I'm Michael on GetAppler. Jeff is Jeff. And Adam is MattCast. So you can just do getappler.com/Jeff or Michael or MattCast. So it's been fun. Looking forward to getting it out to more people soon. So there'll be more people to give it a try. And for those who are wondering, I don't know if I want to do it without my friends on there yet. I am allowing people to get on there with a couple of their friends with some stipulations. So like I said, just email me, michael@getappler.com. And I'm also Michael Johnston on Twitter. So I guess with that, we'll see you next time on We Have Communicators. An iPod. An iPod.
Internet. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck.